that.
Held over by popular demand, Mr. Chair.
Yes, that's a good bill, should pass.
Yeah.
It's for the children.
Okay, I will open the Senate Committee on Rules for Monday, June 15th, 2009. For the sake of the record, 2377 is being held over till tomorrow and will not be considered today. And also
3090
is being held over till tomorrow and will not be considered today. I will open a work session on House Bill 2441. Can the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2441B modifies law that requires cooperation before confession is admissible and creates exception for sex crimes against vulnerable victims when confession is deemed trustworthy and victim is incompetent to testify. We adopted the -B9 amendment on Friday, June 12th, which requires confession to be made to a peace officer, federal officer, or DHS investigator acting in their official capacity. We have the no revenue impact on the -B9. We did not have the fiscal impact on the -B9.
Okay. Do we have a motion to suspend the rules?
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2441 without the fiscal statement. And under discussion, we can have a discussion, Mr. Chair.
Okay. It's been moved to suspend the rules so that 2441 can go to the floor without a fiscal statement. Senator Farioli.
Mr. Chairman, as before, if the fiscal statement, when the fiscal statement finally does appear, I understand that we have your assurance that the fiscal statement will be added to the file, and that if the fiscal statement is more than a nominal or no revenue impact, that you would be willing to entertain the action of returning the bill to committee to reconsider the revenue impact.
Okay. I think we have the general understanding, and I think the proper term would be a minimal or indeterminate fiscal impact. We're talking now actually just about the amendment, because I think we had a fiscal impact for the bill itself.
We did. The original, the bill that comes to us, which is House Bill 2441A engrossed, has a minimal expenditure impact, no statement issued.
Okay. That's my understanding, Senator Lee.
My motion stands, Mr. Chair.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, motion passes. Is there a motion to send 2441B as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2441B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. It's been moved that House Bill 2441 be forwarded to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Did we put the B9 amendments in?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We did. Okay. Any objection? Any discussion? Seeing none, motion passes. I'll decide on a carrier at a later time. Okay. Now we will go to House Bill. I will open a work session, close that work session, open a work session on House Bill 2434. Could the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2434A decreases the statute of alternate repose for large commercial structures from 10 years to 6 years, exempts large commercial structures owned or maintained by homeowners association or associations of United Owners, exempts state, local, and special government bodies, applies to cause of action arising on or after effective date of this 2009 Act. There is a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the measure before you.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, on House Bill 2434, I move House Bill 2434 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Why is this going in the
news? It's been moved to House Bill 2434A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yeah, can you hold on just a second?
Yes. You're 2434.
My bill.
Okay, any additional discussion on 2434? Okay. Any objection?
Right.
Seeing no objection, motion passes. Senator Metzger, will you carry?
Yep.
Okay, we've already indicated that 3090 will be set over till tomorrow. So I'm going to close that work session, open a work session on 3118.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3118B requires public institutions of higher education to interview qualified minority candidates when hiring head coach or athletic director unless the institution was able to identify qualified minority candidate while in to interview position. Sunsets on January 2nd, 2020. Comes to you from the Senate Education General Government Committee on a 5-0 due pass recommendation from the House floor and a 42-4-16 excused vote.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I move House Bill 3118 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Ferriola has moved 3118B to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I think it was at least the strong sense in our caucus, the Republican caucus of the Senate, that there was a good record in hiring minority applicants for coaching positions at Oregon State University and University of Oregon and other institutions of higher learning.
Mm-hmm.
We contemplated doing a minority report that substituted that concept for the main bill. I just wanted to put on the record that there's a strong sense that there is a good record of compliance with minority hiring objectives and but I will not suggest that we do a minority report on this bill today.
Any additional discussion? Yes, Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And echoing what my colleague John Day has said in the Committee on General Government, Education and General Government, where we had this bill, I certainly support the merits of the bill. We'll support the bill today. But I think it's very, very incumbent on us to make it clear we're not sending the message that our universities have done anything but, and I think a real stellar job in looking for the best candidate for positions, including minority candidates. I know two of the biggest high-profile positions in this state, University of Oregon basketball coach Kenny, Mr. Kent, and also now at Oregon State University, as well as many, many other coaches at all levels in different sports of different minority classes. I think Oregon has been very, very progressive in this, and I just think it's very important not to communicate to the public that this bill is going forward because we think we, as institutions of higher learning, that we have tried to be an impediment to having a broad background of different coaches, because I think that's the opposite. But I think to the extent that it actually provides a greater focus to do even better, I would be in support of the bill.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objections? Seeing none.
Did you want to talk?
Well, I just wanted to ask, I've got this A5 amendment. Did we already put that in? I missed so much last week. That
31.
Not on 3118B.
3118?
Yeah, I have this -5 amendment in my file.
What's the date on it? Before the committee had it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's probably incorporated. That's why it's a B.
Okay. Right.
Any additional discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Senator Carter will carry this. Okay. We're just going to go through work sessions and then go right to public hearings. Open a work session. Close that work session. Open a work session on House Bill 3004B. Could the committee administrator give a brief overview? It's the intention of the chair to move the 15 and 16 dash amendments.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3004 provides that foreclosure and sale by trustee of residential property prohibits further action for a deficiency against mortgagor, grantor, or other specified obligator on any additional trust deed for the property, provides exceptions, expands debt protection to include action against homeowner for debt owed to beneficiary in the residential trust deed that was subject to foreclosure that was incurred to secure the residential trust deed, and other debt incurred to finance a portion of the purchase price of the foreclosed property, requires trustee to provide amended notice of sale upon registered or conflict or certified request by any member of the Oregon Bar Association, declares emergency effective upon passage. The -15 amendments are in your packet, and they clarify the measure does not apply in circumstances by which one of the trustees is sold to a third party, and clarify circumstances in which judgment remedies for collection expire when a property is sold at foreclosure. The -B16 amendments resolves conflicts with Senate Bill 952, which provides the purchaser is entitled to possession of property until the trustee's sale subject to interest of person in possession of property under interest created voluntarily by a grantor or successor to grantor. We have no revenue and no fiscal impact on the 15 and 16 amendments.
Is there a motion on the -15s?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move the dash 15 amendments into House Bill 2600.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the dash 15s? It's been moved to amend the bill with the dash 15s. Any objections to the dash 15s? Seeing none, motion passes. Is there a motion on the dash 16s?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the dash 16 amendments into House Bill 2600.
Okay. It's been moved to move the dash 16s into House Bill 20 or House Bill 3004B. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Colleagues, you can see that this bill has had a lot of amendments. The longer we wait, the more amendments that there will be. Okay, is there a main motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3004B as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation, and I apologize for saying the wrong bill number last time.
Okay. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be voting no.
Okay. Would you indicate why?
Mr. Chairman, I hesitate.
It's your prerogative, actually.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman, but thanks for asking. I understand that it's in any of these situations, I hesitate to have the legislature structure remedies that might be available to those that made loans in good faith without any idea of what the circumstances of the agreements between the borrower and the lender were. I know that the courts have found that deficiency judgments are legal in situations where more than one trust deed exists. And I think to change that retroactively is a terrible policy error, that if you wanted to make that prospective change, I think that would be a reasonable policy decision, and then lenders and borrowers would understand the ground rules before entering into these agreements. But to make that change retroactively, to me, interferes with existing contracts and may open this legislation to legal challenge on the basis that it interferes with existing contracts. So I'll be voting no.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Claire Atkinson.
No.
Claire Bright.
Aye.
Claire Metzger.
Aye.
Mr. Ferrelli.
No.
Chair Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, although I don't know what at this moment in time would be the apropos minority report, it would, I will serve notice of the intention to bring in a minority report.
Thank you, Senator Ferrier. Notice is noted. Okay. That motion passed. We'll close that work session, and we'll decide upon a carrier at a later date. Now I'm going to go to public hearings. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2600A. Could the committee administrator give a brief overview? And while they're doing that, could Representative Roblin, Mr. Estabrook, and Jeff Hampton all come up?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2600A requires that transient lodging facilities with 175 or more units to provide lift system for persons with disabilities to access bed, toilet, shower, and bathtub applies to newly constructed facilities or facilities remodeled, renovated, or reconstructed after the effective date, limits liability of owner of lodging. You will find the dash A5 amendments in your packet, which makes it unlawful trade practice to fail to provide lift accommodation, and the dash A6 amendments, which removes requirement that lift system have integrated seat and multiple degrees of recline and lay extensions, and exempts interior design improvements, i.e. replacing floor coverings, drapery, or countertops from definition of usability at the facility and thus requiring a lift installation.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. This bill came about actually from another member, Representative Clem, and it was having trouble when the committee was at. It got sent to rules, and I had decided a long time ago, as a high school principal, I had a young man, interestingly enough, whose name is Todd Nelson, who had a degenerative disease, and All the way through school, he had said he wanted to be a pirate, come to our school, which had multiple floors on top of a hill, and he was in a wheelchair. And so, and his mother worked at a school district that was next to us that had a level place with only one floor. And so she kept saying, you know, you can come to that school. And he said, I'm not going to do that. This is the school that I know all the kids and I want to be in. And he came and showed us as adults how he could get his chair to almost every part of that building, which was kind of amazing to us, and said, you know, my life has been about trying to open up places for me. He got the curb cuts in all of our streets in Coos Bay pretty much single-handedly by going to meetings and saying we have to have these. And he'd go out in his wheelchair, go all over our town. One time he rolled his little wheelchair into a mud puddle and was almost drowning. And passersby finally stopped and lifted him back up. And they said, oh, are you okay? And he says, I'm fine. And headed off on his own way. He was not to be deterred. He believed that he was a part of the community and he would do what he had to do. And so he continued to do that at the high school until his death in his junior year. And to this day, I owe a great gratitude to him and his family about how do I make sure that access to people who have the same aspirations and want to get around our state and see it. And so when this bill came about, it became clear to me that this was speaking to me about how do I make it happen. And we had had some conversations with people. It was difficult. It was not going well. And I finally said, let me just work on this bill. I got a hold of the people at the Oregon Lodging Association, and I am pleased to say that we bring today some amendments that really speak to coming up with an Oregon solution. I think we will be the first state that actually has this kind of thing going. We changed the size of hotels so that it wasn't going to be a major cost to them as they do some of these other repairs. One of the great moments in this session was the fact that we had some lifts demonstrated right outside this in the lobby, and we saw some different lifts, and you'll see the definition that we came in the dash sixes, I believe it is, came from having seen that. I mean, they've changed so dramatically that we wanted to make sure that anything that's out there is available. And so having the structured seat and stuff, there was one that came all apart and you could store it pretty easily. So great opportunity. I really appreciate working. And then Boley came and said there's one little amendment. And so what you see today, I think, is the final culmination of all of those people working together. And I urge your support for this great bill.
Okay. Mr. Hampton.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. Senators, for the record, Jeff Hampton, President, CEO of the Oregon Lodging Association, and just to echo Representative Roblin's comments, just want to lend our support and thanks for the collaborative effort in drafting amendments that make sense for industry as well as for those with the special needs that this bill attempts to address.
Okay, Mr. Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Bob Estabrook for the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries, here in support of the A5 amendment, which is a technical amendment for the Bureau to make sure that complaints raised under this bill would be handled through our standard complaint procedure through our Civil Rights Division. It's an important little cleanup that unfortunately didn't get included previously, but appreciate Representative Roblin and the Lodging Association being supportive of this, as we are supportive of the bill and it moving forward.
Any questions from the panel? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Greenwood, will you come forward? Please identify yourself for the record, and I think you'll be the closing on this bill.
I'll do the closing. Mr. Chair, thank you very much. I'm Mitch Greenlick, House District 33, State Representative, House District 33. I really wanted to come and comment briefly. I think you all know 10 days before the start of the 2007 session, I fell, knocked the quadriceps off both my knees. They had to go in and find them and drill holes in my knees and sew the quadriceps back on, and I spent much of the session with a person of special needs. And I was able, because of having resources, to do things that not everybody could do. The Marriott was very nice about allowing me to set up one of the rooms in a two-room suite at the Marriott Residence Inn as a hospital room. I had a hospital bed and a commode and a variety of things that made it possible for me to be down here. I had to come in with wheelchair transit twice a day for the first 2.5 months of the session. But it made it possible for me to live my life in an everyday way, to be a member of the legislature, to be here every day, to work, to chair my committee. And it was very important to me to be able to live a normal life in spite of what was a very temporary handicap. I spent a week in the Rehabilitation Institute of Oregon and looked around and came away with a big smile on my face saying, I'm going to have a problem for a couple of months, but the people around me in this building are going to have a problem for life. The quadriplegics and the paraplegics and folks who were handicapped in a variety of ways. Part of being able to live a normal life is being able to travel and take vacations and to do things like that. And it seems to me this bill is an extraordinarily important bill for a lot of folks who right now have a great deal of difficulty finding a place where they can come when they're on vacation or where they're on a business trip. I think it's I'm really pleased to hear that the association's behind it now, that it's something that's going to be feasible, not too expensive, and I just really want to join with you as you consider it and give the bill my best wishes along the way, because I realize how important it can be to a fairly large number of our citizens.
Okay. Any questions?
Thank you very much. I suspect Senator Atkinson has some sense of that as well. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2600 and open a work session. Do we have a motion on the -5 amendments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the -5 amendments to House Bill 2600.
Okay. The -5 amendments to House Bill 2600 have been moved. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Do I have a motion on the -A6 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move the -A6 amendments into House Bill 2600.
Okay, Senator Burdick has moved the -6 amendments to House Bill 2600A. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Do I have a motion to send the bill to the floor as amended to with the due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2600A as amended to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay. House Bill 2600A as amended has been moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, motion.
Mr. Chairman, would you call the roll, please?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferriola?
No.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Do I have a carrier? Anyone that would like to carry? Senator Atkinson. Okay. Close that work session. Open a work session on House Bill 31. Well, public hearing. Getting ahead of myself.
That's right. Let's just go ahead and get it done.
Okay. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3153. Ms. Flicker, are you here? Why don't you come up while the committee administrator gives a brief overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3153B requires utility provider to consult with owners of high-value farmland prior to installing a transmission line in order to minimize the impact on farming operations, defines high-value farmland and transmission line. The -B11 amendments you'll find in your packet, which replaces the measure, and defines consult and establishes consultation responsibilities of record owner of high-value farmland and utility provider, defines methodology and timeline for satisfying consultation requirements. You will also find a hand-engrossed version of the measure. We have a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the -B11 amendment.
Okay. Before you start, Representative Clem, did you want to speak to this?
That's all we got left.
Talk to you about something else.
Okay.
I don't think you need
it. Okay. Ms. Flicker.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sandy Flicker, representing the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association. I would ask that maybe we allow Mr. Cleave to testify in front of me, since he is here to testify on the bill, and I beat him to the punch in signing up, and I'm here to testify on behalf of the -11 amendment. So with your consideration.
Please proceed.
Sure. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sean Cleave, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. The Oregon Farm Bureau represents nearly 8,000 family farmers in Oregon. The impetus behind the legislation you have before you is a variety of concerns that have arisen over the past decade regarding utility siting. Oregon statute provides a mechanism for which utilities can site on what is classified as high-value farmland if other alternative paths can't be identified. The statute sets forth what those triggers are. The bill you have before you essentially says that once that trigger has taken place and the utility has proven that the other alternative routes are not viable and the facility can go onto high-value farmland, that siting would be done so in consultation with the landowner in order to minimize the impact on the agricultural operation. We have had a variety of conversations with the utilities to define this in such a way that wouldn't create loopholes to attract frivolous lawsuits in certain cases, and the Dash B11 amendments are the latest attempt to address some of those concerns. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony and open to any questions if you have any.
Okay. Ms. Flicker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of the rural electric co-ops, we did participate in the discussions of 3153 on the House side. Originally, the bill had a couple of ambiguous words, and one of those was clarified on the House side, but the second one, being consult, was not clarified on the House side. So we believed that consult is a matter of interpretation and felt much more comfortable with this bill, knowing that consult was defined, and so the utilities and the landowners both know what the responsibilities are. So we believe that the Dash 11 amendments do take care of the problem of clarification of this term and would request your support of the Dash 11 amendments. Thank you.
Any questions for... Yes.
No.
Any questions? Thank you both for coming.
Thank you very much.
Speech-making of Mr. Cleese.
I will close the public hearing and I will open a work session on 3153B.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move the Dash 11 amendments to House Bill 3153B.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash B11 amendments to House 3153B. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move House Bill 3153B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 3153B to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Senator Farioli, would you carry?
I will.
Okay. Committee, this concludes our work for today. I believe our work on bills is going to conclude probably Wednesday. Of course, we will always be at the call of the President of the Senate. On Thursday and Friday, we will have about an hour and a half meeting on one day and an hour the next day just to consider confirmation of gubernatorial appointments. And with that, we are done for today.